I could spend a lot of time telling you about my good friend, Dr. Daryl Cox. I think most of you have heard him at one time or another. But it's always a delight for me to have him with us. And now 35 years in pastoring, is that correct, Brother Cox? Down where you're at right now. And now the difference between him, a lot of difference between him and I, is that somebody came up and paid off his entire church. Wow. Yeah, no, send the cash. But he travels all the time. Of course, his dear wife Marilyn's with us. Thank you so much for being here. And what a just a genuinely nice man. And just tries to help everywhere he can possibly go. And I'm so glad that one day our paths crossed and he allowed me to become his friend. There was one night in particular, I think, kind of pulled the whole thing together after several years of being here. We were sitting out at Best Western, and not where you guys stay now. And we pulled up there after a night service and sat out there until about 1 in the morning and just talked about places we've been and preachers we knew and sermons we heard and experiences we had. And we were laughing. People stopped by and looked in the car. Like, are you two old guys okay? And we were doing great. But just really, it's amazing how often we were in the same place. We just didn't know each other. Southwide Conference, Soar of the Lord Conference way back in the day. And he was there. I was there. Pastor schools, he was there. I was there. But we didn't know each other yet. And now, after all this time, we did. And the blessing is mine. And I think you're going to enjoy Brother Cox. I just love this man. I really do. And so you pray for him. And we're going to get started this morning. We're going to have a song. And then Brother Cox, you come preach for us, okay? God bless you, buddy. Thank you. Father, help us, please. Our dear friend, thank you for his faithfulness. Thank you for his heart, his spirit, so many things that probably all of us ought to try to emulate, try to add to our lives. And thank you for allowing me to be his friend. And I pray, dear Lord, you'll give him strength and bring to his mind those things that ought to be said and need to be said. And then give him the freedom, please, to say those things. I love him. I love you, Lord. And I pray that both of you, him and you, will preach to us this morning. Thank you for this time. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord. seated. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Look in your Bible, Psalm 55. Psalm 55. And I'm glad to be here this morning. And man, what a good services you always have up here at Anchor this week. And man, I look forward to being here with you. And looking forward to being with Brother Bell this week and getting to see him. I don't get some of the best friends I've got in the world. I don't get to see them very much. It's just the way that it is. They're in one place. I'm in another. Like these good men out here. And I don't, a lot of times, I don't, maybe once in a great while, get to see them somewhere or talk to them a minute or two on the phone. That's about it. But if you're getting anything done for God, you have to stay at it all the time. You really do. And you can't take time to stay on vacation all the time. You have to work, don't you? You have to work. You're going to get anything done. And but anyhow, I'm glad to be here. And I preached in Logan, West Virginia, Monday night, Tuesday morning, and last night. And then me and my wife got in the car, or the truck rather, and she drove last night. And I sat up there in the seat and talked to her. And she done the driving, and we got in here. I guess we got in bed about 2 o'clock this morning. And we got in, you know. But we're glad to be here, to be with you. And so we'll preach this morning, Lord's willing, and tonight. And then Friday we'll head back. So you pray for us down there in North Carolina. Preacher said I'd been there 35 years. And that's right, 35 years. And you pray, because it doesn't get easier, it's harder. The longer you stay, some things, you know, there's advantages of staying at a place lots of years. I think it's a good thing to do if it's the will of God, but it doesn't make it easier, because you think, well, if a man's been there a lot of years, it gets easier. You know, sometimes it'll get a little bit tougher in some ways, but I thank God for His goodness. And you know, like the lady sang there, the longer I know Him, the sweeter He is to me, and through battles and storms and all the rest of it. But God is good, and I appreciate your church and your pastor and getting to be in this meeting. Preacher, I don't know how many years I've been here with you in this meeting, but I've been here many, many, many times, and I love your church and thank God for you and your pastor, and looking forward to hearing Brother Bob. And I really do. He's a great preacher, and I look forward to it and being with you here these couple of days. Now, you pray for me this morning. I want you to look at Psalm 55. Psalm 55. And I'm going to preach, get out of the way, and let the good preacher preach, Brother Bob. I always enjoy hearing him. He's a wonderful preacher. And I know you've already had a good time this week. I know you have. And I know you've heard good preaching and good singing. This church always has some of the best music of anywhere I've ever been in my life. There are churches that runs thousands that would like to have the music that you got here. God has blessed His place down through the years with some of the best music that I've ever heard. It really is just good. And there's something matter with you if you don't like it. If you don't like it, something wrong with you. And so it's just good to see you. And those of you that are here, Brother Smith and Brother Richardson and Brother Damaris, I've known these men a long time too. And Brother Bell, I'm trying to think. I think that I actually met you and talked to you for the first time maybe at Longview, at the soul winning clinics, maybe. I'm thinking that maybe that's when I actually met you. I'm thinking way back yonder. At one of those soul winning clinics. And of course, I've been coming up here for years and years. So I love Brother Bell, and thank God for your pastor. Now, Psalm 55 and verse number 1, and I'm going to read a few verses to you here. Son Absalom. You know, Absalom turned on David. He thought that he knew more than his dad knew. And he wanted to be the king, and the Bible said that Absalom stole the hearts of the people of the kingdom, and Absalom tried to turn them towards him, and the Bible said he got a group of men that knew nothing. That's right. They know nothing. And they followed him, and they run through the streets with placards and saying, you know, Absalom for king. And so, you know, they begin to follow him. And of course, others fell in. It's sort of like the media is today in the news. Yeah. You know, they can report stuff, and there's some just idiots just take off following it, you know. And so that's the way they did Absalom. They followed him. Well, David fled from Absalom, not because he was afraid of Absalom. Believe me, David wasn't afraid of nobody. When a man has killed a bear in his teen years and didn't have a .30-06, he killed a bear and he killed a lion and then he killed that giant. And then he'd been in many battles that he was a victor. So David was not afraid of his boy. He just loved him and didn't want to kill him. He knew he'd kill him. And by the way, if David didn't personally want to do it, he had some men that was around him called David's mighty men that he called him. He had one man named Benani. And let me tell you something. He was bad all the way through, buddy. Let me tell you. He'd kill you just to be killing you. I mean, it didn't matter to him. He just loved killing people. And all David would have had to say was, Benani, look, my son's causing problems. Take him out. I don't care what you do. Get rid of him. That'd have been the end of the story. But David loved him. He loved Absalom. And he thought that I'll take my men and we'll run from him and we'll get off out in here. And when Absalom comes after me, we'll capture him. And then he can be captured and brought in and I can set him down and try to talk some sense in his head. Try to talk to him. Well, David gave those orders. But you remember Joab disobeyed orders. Oh, Absalom got hung up in his long hair in the limbs of the trees, and old brother Roloff used to preach on, the mule walked home and left him hanging there. And so Absalom then, Joab and some other men went up there and he shot darts through him or arrows, killed him. They cut him down and piled him under a bunch of rocks, put those rocks on him. And then they come and told David. Of course, David's heart was broken over all of it. But here, David's running from his son. Can you imagine the heartache that this man's facing here? I mean, this is not just another man that turned. This is his son. And David said here to God in this prayer, give ear to my prayer, O God, verse 1. And hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Now that's as far as I'll read, but I'll refer to some other verses in this chapter. Did you hear what David said? He said this, I would to God that I had wings like a dove. And what I would do is I would pick up and fly away from every bit of this. I'd just fly away from this storm that I'm in. He called it in verse number 7. He said I would remain in the wilderness. But he said in verse 8, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. David said, this storm, I'd like to fly away from it. That's what I'd like to do. I wished I had wings. Now, let me say this. There's many times that's what I'd like to do. That's what I'd like to do. I was on an airplane a few weeks ago. I'm not even sure where I had been. Seemed like I'd been out in Arizona preaching. I think I had been out in Arizona. But I was coming back through. I was on Delta Airlines. I was coming back through, and they made a stop in Detroit, Michigan. And I got on the plane, and that was my last stop till we went to Greensboro. And then that was my destination, and I'd catch and get in my car there and go on home. Sitting on the plane, and we got loaded, and everybody got buckled in, and the pilot come over the speaker, and he said this, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to make an on-time arrival into Greensboro. because of the storms. And this is what he said. I'm going to take a longer route and I'm going to fly around the storm. I'm flying around it. Now, we won't get there. He said we won't be over about 15 minutes off. But I'm going to take us way out around the storm and we'll not make an on-time arrival. He said we're going around the storm. I'm sitting on the plane, and I won't go into it, but there were some things going on within my own life. And then in some of the lives of my church members, people that I've loved, been with me for years, going through some of the hardest times I've ever been through in my life. And I'm sitting there looking out the window of that plane when he made that statement. And I said to myself, sir, I sure am glad that you can take us around the storm. I'm glad you can take us around it. But the storms that I'm in, there's no way around them. And David was saying here, there's no way around this. I wish I had wings like a dove. I'd fly away. But folks, truth of it is this. Do you understand that if you fly around your storms many times, you don't get to spend no time with God like you would have? You know, Paul said that in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now listen to the resurrection. Everybody wants to know him and the power of his resurrection. But here's the second part of that verse is, and the fellowship of his suffering. So if you're going to get to know him, you can't fly around all your storms. Thank God when the old pilot said, we're going around this one. That's good. I said, that's great. I'd rather go around it than go through it if I could. And I would rather go around the ones that I go through. But do you understand that God sometimes puts storms there so he'll make you what you ought to be?
Correct.
See, sometimes the storm you go through, you wouldn't become what you ought to become if God allowed you to go through it. Now, I want to say this. You can't always fly around the storms. But let me say this right here. When you can't go around the storms, there's some things that we can do when you can't go around it. You know, for instance, I thought about in my church right now while we speak, my piano player, the lady named Donna Revis, that's been playing our piano for over 40 years. A wonderful, one of the best Christians I have ever met in my life. I wish I were as good a Christian as Donna Revis. My wife knows this true. As good a person as I've ever known. And today she's battling cancer. Now I don't understand it. Sunday she was in church for the first time in months. For two Sunday morning and Sunday night. And she cried. I call her on the phone. She'll cry and say, preacher, I wish we could be there. I'm not able. She has cancer. But she's able to be there Sunday. But you know, she can't go around that storm. There's no way around it. She's got to go through it. I got another man in my church and his wife on the first Sunday of May that is bus workers, been bus workers for years, soul winners. She taught Sunday school, sung in the choir. They've been faithful givers to our church. Not any way would you look at them and say that there's somewhere they ought to improve and be better Christians. They're them kind of people. And yet on the first Sunday of May, we was having a big day that day. That man that evening had a stroke on Sunday evening. And they got him in an ambulance, took him to the hospital, and they're checking him out. I got over there that evening. When it all happened, and his wife collapsed, standing by the bed there, and they took her and admitted her in the hospital, found out she had an aneurysm in the heart and five blockages, and they did bypass surgery. Today, as I speak to you, both of them's been through rehab centers and all of it. Both of them are in wheelchairs, sitting in their house now, and went from going soul winning, very involved, all of it, to both of them today are in wheelchairs. Now, let me say, that's a storm. They would to God they could go around it, but they can't. Are you listening? And there's people in this room that you've went through storms that you wish you had wings like a dove and could pick up and just fly around it. But you can't. David wished he could. It's not a sin to wish you could go around it. But the truth of it is, sometimes it's an appointment that God has for you that you must go through. Now, lots of times you can't go around it, but I will tell you this, there's some things you can do as you go around it. Number one, as you go through the storms, you can pray. You can pray. Isn't it good that nothing can stop you from praying?
Amen.
Isn't that good? Hey, do you know verse 16 in this chapter says this? As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that when you go through a storm, you're going to perish just because you went through the storm. Hey, notice going through the storm. Not crashing in the storm, but going through the storm. You see what I'm saying? He said, as for me, I'll call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And he hath delivered, now look at this, he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Now listen, look at what that really saying. Brother Bell, it doesn't say he delivered me from the battle. It says he delivered my soul. There's a lot of people that's going through storms that they still have victory in the battle.
Right.
You see what I'm trying to say? See, as long as you can keep your soul healthy and keep your spirit healthy, you'll make it through the storm. But if you ever get to where your soul and your spirit gets so down that you can't keep going, you're in trouble then.
Yes,
you see what I'm trying to say? And he said, I'll pray evening, morning, and at noon. And he said, the Lord will deliver my soul and give me peace in the battle. You know what you can do? You can pray. Oh, let me tell you, remember old Jehoshaphat over there in 2 Chronicles, and those Assyrians had the city just covered up. There were so many of them around him. And the messenger come in and told the king, said, we're surrounded, and there's so many of them. We don't hardly have a fighting chance. And the Bible said that Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast, fell to his knees, and got people praying. And here's what he prayed. Lord, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And God told him, stand still. Later on, God said, you just stand still and watch me. You've called on me, now I'm going to show you what I can do. Do you know what God does? God's not looking for strong Christians. God's looking for Christians that will admit they're weak and he's strong.
Amen.
You know that old song that says, just a closer walk with thee? I am weak, but thou art strong. Hey, God's wanting to flex his muscles, not mine.
Amen.
See, if I am strong and I get through the battle and I say, well, I brought myself through this thing, then it's focused on me. But if I say I was just about to go under and I thought this is the end of the line, and then God came to my rescue and the Lord gave me peace in the battle and the Lord strengthened me, then God gets the glory.
Amen.
He said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And I want to tell you this morning, when you're going through it, my dear friends, one thing you can do, you might not, Brother Clay, can go around it, but thank God you can pray while you go through it. Isn't that something? So, hey, you can pray. That's something you can do when you go through the storm. Then let me give you something else. As you go through the storms, you can have peace. Remember what he said there? Look what he said. He said you can have peace. Look at verse number 18. He hath delivered my soul in peace. You know why? Because you got the Prince of Peace with you in the storm. Look at verse 18 and verse 22. Look what he said. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Look at that. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He can carry it, see? Let me tell you, God can carry your burden. He can carry it. Now, you can carry it if you want to, but it may kill you.
Right.
You can carry it if you want to,
right. Exactly.
But you don't have to.
Right.
And if you carry it, that's why people are breaking down and all of it. Let me tell you something. Friends, some way or other, you better learn you can't carry all that stuff.
Right.
You can't carry it all. You know, I've learned something. Now, we got a pretty good bit of stuff with us now because we're going to be gone for several days. But you know what I've learned? I used to see Dr. Tom Malone I used to have Tom Malone preach for me. And I thank God for them old men like that, like Dr. Malone, Dr. Robertson, different ones, Bobby Robertson, ones I got to know. But Dr. Malone, I don't know why I thought of this, but Brother Bell, every time he come preach for me, the only thing he ever had with him was like a little satchel, it was like a leather doctor's bag is what it looked like, an old brown doctor's bag. It's what it looked like, but that was his briefcase. Had handles on it. It was sort of, it wasn't real thin. It was about like this, about that thick maybe, and about that long. And old Dr. Malone would bring that. And he'd have on his suit, and that's everything he had. I said, Doc, you got a bag down here at the baggage claim? Nope, it's it. It's it right here. And he may preach Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, or he may just preach maybe a Monday and a Tuesday for me. That's what he had. And in my mind, I wouldn't ask him, but I'd think, Doc, where's your stuff? You know, because, man, when I went, Brother Richards, and I'd have a briefcase here with nearly every book I owned in it, three or four Bibles, have a suitcase here, two or three more Bibles in it, two or three suits, two or three shirts, underclothes, shaving kit, and all that stuff in it, and I couldn't hardly carry it. You know what I've done? Now, I'm getting older now. You know what I got? A little bag about that thick and about that long. You say, why? I learned the lighter the load, the better you can make it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm sure he had his shaving stuff with him, his toothpaste and soap and all that, had all that. Probably a change of underclothes or two and his Bible. That's about it. That's all he could have fit in there. But you know what he learned? I don't need to carry all of that. I don't need to carry all that. You know what he told me out of his own mouth? He said, when I went in evangelism in 1935, I believe he told me, Dr. Malone, Brother Bob, he said, he told me and my wife this, and I laughed till I cried. He said, I'd take a trunk of books with me. And he said, I would give a man 10 cents at the train station to carry that trunk from my car over to the train. And he said that trunk was that long and that thick. And he said he was staggered. It was so heavy. But when he finished his ministry, he was carrying that little satchel. Are you following me? You know what he learned to do through the years? To lighten the load. You know what you better learn if you're going to run the... If you're going to stay in this thing, if you're going to stay in it, you better learn there's things you can't carry.
Yeah.
You better learn there's some things you can't carry. It's too big. It'll put you on the ground. You better learn to say, God, here, you carry this. I can't handle this. Lord, please take this. And I'm giving it over to you. And when you do, you know what you can do? You can have peace. You can have peace. You know, it was another wonderful day when they put wheels on luggage. Wasn't it? I remember when there wasn't no wheels on nothing but the airplane and the car that took you to the airport. There wasn't no wheels. You carried everything. Now, I wouldn't have a briefcase now. When I look at one, the first thing I want to look at and see if it's got wheels. Amen? If it ain't got wheels, don't give it to me. You can pull that handle up and you don't even know it's back there. But brother, you load three or four Bibles in one of them and 8 or 10 books and paper and pens and all that. Brother, by the time you get to your room, your shoulder's about out of socket. You know what I'm talking about? And let me tell you, in life, if you try to carry the things that will be on your plate, let me tell you, it will put you, my friend, down. You're not designed to handle it. Do you know that hard work will not hurt you? Hard work won't bother you. My daddy was talking the other day about his granddad was 93 when he died. And he worked every day. And he worked every day in the gardens and farming and stuff. And listen, he wore long handle underwear. The old long johns, you know. I mean, year round. And long sleeve shirts buttoned up to the neck with a hat. And work boots and bibbed overalls over all that. You'd think that'd be enough to burn up anybody and kill anybody. But you know what? That's the way he went every day, and get out in that hot sun and hoe and work and get up early, 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 early in the mornings and go to bed early at night. But he worked. And do you know that hard work? And let me tell you something. We talk about what we're eating today killing us. But the truth of it is, I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced it's more what we carry and worry about that's killing us than what we're eating. My grandpa and them, well, they'd have thought you was crazy if you talked about not eating hog meat. You know what I'm talking about? They'd have thought you was a nut if you said throw that bacon away and them pork chops and that sausage. And by the way, I still believe you're crazy if you throw it away. I still eat it. But what I'm trying to tell you is, I know what will kill you, and that's trying to take a burden that you can't get away from and putting it on your back and carrying it every day. It'll put you under. You can't go many times around the storm, but you can pray as you go through the storm, and you can have peace when you go through the storm. And then let me say this. You can have the presence of God in the storm, the presence of God. And you know, in Psalm 57 verse 1, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Do you know something? It's not, David was saying, "I wished I had wings." But you know something? It's not me needing wings. I just need to get under his wings.
Amen.
Like Psalm 91, 1 says, I don't need wings. I just need to get under the one that's got wings so big that when he spreads them, there's a big shadow. Under the shadow of his wings. You know why? His wings are powerful wings. His wings are protecting wings. A preacher friend of mine told a story about being in a ranch in Montana when he was a boy, and a huge storm was coming, awful lightning and thunder and storms and rain, and they were calling for it, and his mother told him, "Son, y'all get in all the stock, get the cows in the barn and the horse, and get put the dog up, and there's a storm coming." He put up everything, and he said, "Brother Damaris, a little bit, the hail started coming, and the lightning." He said it was hail balls, big as golf balls falling. And they was looking out the window, and that hail was hitting the ground. And they looked, and his mother said, "Oh my goodness." And she looked and saw their mother hen out there, saw their old hen out there that had about 6 little ones. And he said when them hail balls began to fall, that them little ones was running toward the mother, and said it was raining so hard you could barely see her, but you could see her out there. And them little ones was running to mama. And said, "Boy, that hail fell and the lightning," and said, "You can still see her." And and his mother said, her boy said, "She'll be dead." And he said, sure enough, the storm stopped. And he said, when you walk through the hail so thick on the ground, it was like ice. You could literally wade in the hail that had got on the ground. And I walked out there where that old mother hen was. And sure enough, I reached down and picked her up. And when I picked her up, she was as limp as a dish rag. Said she was broke all to pieces from the hail. And when I picked her up, he said, as soon as I picked her up, out from under her body run 6 little chickens that had got under her wings. And she crouched down and put her wings around them little chicks. And them little chicks made it through that storm because they was under the wings of the mother. And let me tell you, my friend, when the storms come, you better know the one that's got the wings. You better run under the shadow of his powerful wings and under his protective wings and under his providing wings, and get under the wings of God and let God shelter you, my dear friends, there in the storms of life. Oh, listen to me. But here's what he said. He said, "In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Do you know, I love that old song that says, "Till the storm passes by." Until the storm goes by, I'll be under his wings, because I can't take it. I can't carry it. I'm not strong enough, but I'm glad he said, 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Whatever today you face, run to Jesus. run to Jesus and get to him as fast as you can. And old David said in Psalm 57 and verse 7, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed, and I will sing and give praise. You know why you can praise God? Because as he went through the storms, he had the presence of God. You know, in Hebrews 13:5, he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He'll never leave you. Boy, I thank God he'll never leave you. You know, whenever I had heart surgery here a few years ago, my wife come over that morning. She'd been with me every day. She come over that morning. They's taking me down and to go. And that's sort of an odd feeling, weird feeling. You know, they're taking you away. And there's my wife and my son and daughters. And they were hugging me and telling me goodbye. And to be honest with you, I didn't know if it was really goodbye. But they took me through there, and I remember looking at them big old metal doors as they rolled me through there, and it said, no admittance. And they said, we've come as far with you as we can go. We can't go through there. That's right. But you know what? What they could not see and what those doctors could not see is when they rolled me through there, Brother Dean, there was one that had me by the hand. And he walked with me and never left me while they operated on me. He stayed right by my side. And when I woke up, he was there. When I went to sleep, he was there. No matter where I go, he's there in my storms. And I just want to say to you today that when you go through the storm, you can have the presence of God. Then let me say this, as you go through the storms, you can trust the promises of God. In Psalm 56 and verses 1 through 4, look what he said. Psalm 56 and verses 1 through 4. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Amen. In God will I praise his word. In God will I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. He said, I'll trust God. You know what it is? You trust his promises. You lean on the unfailing promises of God. No matter what, you lean on him. And you know what he'll do? He'll get you through things. He'll help you through. You know what you do? Lean on. That's why, let me tell you something. I'm going to just keep trusting this old book. I read it every day. I want to get something out of it every day. This is a love letter from heaven. And for 50 years I've been reading it. 50 years almost that I've been a child of God. And I've never found, you know, in all these battles, people always talk about the Bible and that it wasn't this and it wasn't that. Let me tell you. Let me tell you something. You can say anything you want to about it, but it doesn't change how I feel about it one bit. I trust every promise in it. I believe it from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Everything that I'm hoping for and everything I believe is wrapped up in this leather cover, in this old King James. You just as well be talking to that wall to tell it that there's a mistake in it to tell me that. I don't pay that a lick attention. I don't have any education, but I got enough sense. See, you can have all kinds of education, not have a dab of sense.
That's right.
Do you know that we have a country that's completely, and I'm not against education, we got a country though, that we got more educated idiots per square inch than any country in the world. I'm talking about idiots. I'm talking about people with PhDs that ain't got a thimble full of sense. We got people in the White House and in the on the news people and governors of states and congressmen and all. And we even got preachers. They ain't got no sense. You say, who are they? Anybody that don't believe this book. Boy, let me tell you. You know, I was telling you about being operated on for heart surgery. And that night before they operated on me, all my company had left. And a woman come in my room, a young, nice lady. She was so nice. And she said, I forget what department she said she's from. But she said, I've come up here to give you something to calm you down for in the morning. I said, excuse me? She said, something to calm you down. And I said, well, ma'am, they must have given you the wrong name. She said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Aren't you having, I think they called it a cabbage." That's what they call heart surgery, a cabbage. It ain't like the cabbage I eat coming up, I can tell you that. And they said, "You're having a cabbage in the morning, ain't you?" I said, "Well, they're going to operate on me in the morning, but ma'am, somebody's got me mixed up, somebody else. You ain't got to give me nothing, calm me down." She said, "Somebody done been in here?" I said, "Oh, yeah." "Yeah." And I said, "You see this?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "That's all the pill I need is the gospel. I got all the pills I need in here. I got the gospel. I don't need it." And I said, "Ma'am, I've been writing this book for 40-some years, and I'm going to write her right into that operating room. And I'm going to write it till God takes me home. And when he takes me home, I want it laid right across my breast in the box with my arms wrapped around it. Because I want to walk in with it. Because I've lived by this book." And let me tell you something. Friend, this thing right here, the promises of God. And I'm through. Then let me tell you, the next thing you do when you go through the storm, you can praise him. Amen. Psalm 57:7 says, "My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed." And he said, "I will sing and give him praise."
Yes, sir.
Do you know that the Hebrew children were still praising God when they put them in the furnace? Now, they didn't go around the furnace. They went through the furnace.
Yeah.
They didn't go around it. I'm not sitting here telling you because you're saved and love God, you ain't going to go through no storms. That's not true. You'll go through them. I'm not even going to tell you. If you can go around it, go around it. Amen. If I see some problems out here on the road and traffic, I'd rather go around and hit clear roads than complicated roads. But sometimes you just got to sit and go through it. Let me just say this. When you can't go through the storms, I mean, when you can't go around them, you go through them. But always remember this, you'll never go through it by yourself.
Amen.
And let me tell you, if you think even that it's just you and God, you got another thing coming. Can I tell you this? That a man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We have trouble, problems. But let me tell you, you got the Lord and you got the church. You got the Bible. You got all these things to help you. You know, the greatest place in the world to be when you're going through a storm ain't laying in the bed with a pillow over your head with the curtains drawn where there ain't no sunlight. Get up, take a shower, and get to the house of God.
Amen.
Then get back Sunday night. Then get back Wednesday night. And let that man take that book right there and open it up and encourage you to keep going. And you know what? If you'll just keep going, the sun will shine again. The sun will shine again. And my dear friends, I don't know, this hadn't been much of a sermon, but that old pilot don't know it. I don't even know who he was, but that day I want to say, "Sir, thank you for what you just said." And then I was reading my Bible a few days later and come across that Psalm 55, and I said, "There's the text." And the pilot gave me the sermon. I just needed some verses to go with it. Now I got them. And you know what it is? I've been through them. You know, probably, Brother Bell, in the last 3 or 4 years of my ministry has been the hardest time. People say, "Is it going good?" Yeah, I guess it is. Still seeing people saved. We ain't never let up on that end. We still see people saved every week. Last Sunday, I had a woman and a man and another woman. Woman and a man and another woman I led to Christ come down the aisle, and one of those women followed the Lord in baptism. I think I had 6 the week before. I had 3 or 4 the week before. No, that ain't never stopped. But what I'm trying to tell you, in the midst of every bit of that, see, that's just doing what I'm supposed to do. But what I'm trying to tell you is the storms have still been raging and the battle is raging wide open. So what are you going to do? I can't go around it. I ain't got but one other option. What is it? Go through it. But while I go through it, I'm not going alone.
Amen.
Because he's been with me every step of the way. And he'll be with you.
Yes.
And he'll be with you.
Yes.
And he'll be with you. 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 And you know what it is? My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. And all I have to do is follow. Just follow him. Just follow him. He knows the way. And all I got to do is just keep my eyes on him. Amen?
Amen.
Just follow him. 1 Peter 2:21 said that we're to follow his steps. He left us an example that we should follow his steps. Well, you know what it was about him? I'm through preaching. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know why? Because he said there's going to be a day he won't be able to go around that storm. And I'm going to go through sorrows and grief so that when he goes through it, that he can say, son, I know exactly where you are.
Yeah.
I know exactly where you're at. You're going through it? I did too. And you know what, Brother Darrell? You're going through it, but you know what? They took me one day. I hadn't done a thing. And they nailed me to a cross. And they beat my back wide open. And they smote me in the face and spit on me and cussed me and lied on me and done everything against me. So, hey, you can't go around it. But you can go through it. And Jesus one day didn't go around it. And I'm glad he didn't go around it.
Amen.
I'm glad. Brother Bell, I like that old song he could have called 10,000 Angels. I like that. He could have called those angels, but he didn't. You know why? He said, I can't go around this storm. Not if they are redeemed. I can't go around it. I must go through it. I must go through it. And let me say today, there's some things you've got to go through. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Our Father.